Dropout Podcasts.
Welcome. Welcome to Tales from the Closet, the show about queer people and the closets we come from. If you're currently in the closet, we're here to keep you company. If you're out of the closet, yeah! Find me on Instagram. Great. We have an amazing show for you today. Three guests I'm extremely excited about. Let's just kick it off. I say let's jump right to it.
Oh, no, candles.
For those of you at home, I spilled my sandwich. No, I dropped candles.
That's like...
okay. I just like to imagine people at home are always like, what fucking bullshit
what
sound
happened?
Am I going to have to deal with at the top? I don't know what's happening.
I also love the idea of lying on a podcast about what is actually happening.
I spilled my sandwich.
It's like, actually, you did not do that. There's no sandwich.
There's no sandwich. For those of you who are driving around in your car to work, there's no sandwich. All right, let's kick it off. Emily, why don't you start us off? Who are you?
Emily Fightmaster, they, them. Proud Chicagoan, but I love LA.
I like that flair.
Yes.
And I am a non-binary butch dyke from hell.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hell.
All right.
Hi, I'm Ryan Parsegian. I use any and all pronouns. Mm-hmm. I am a musician and drag queen currently living in Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fun. Exciting.
Yes.
Rare.
I will say I was next to Ryan for the better part of yesterday and had no idea it was you. You are gorgeous.
Thank
stunning.
You. Thank you.
In
honestly,
and out of drag. In and out of drag.
Yes, your eyes are beautiful right
yes.
now.
Yes.
They really are. Oh, God. I need those.
Travis just took eyes out of a human body.
I need those
Must
eyes.
Must have.
Give me.
Oh, God. Oh, I am Travis Coles. Mm-hmm. I go by... he, she, girl, yes, queen. Any and all pronouns for me as well. And I am an actor and a comedian currently living in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
And I love it. I love it. And I'm not a proud Chicagoan, but I can't wait to go.
Thank you. I can't wait to be proud of Chicago when I
wait.
Visit.
Honestly, I didn't know that's how I was going to introduce myself, but yeah. I'm happy I did.
You know, they say jump off the cliff and build your own parachute. What is it?
I hope no one's ever said that.
Everyone has said that to me growing up. It's crazy.
Wow.
Build your parachute while you die.
Honestly. I think it's a Kurt Vonnegut thing. I think it's a fucking alcoholic white savior thing. great. Well, welcome to the show. Emily, you're our returner. Emily is our first returner that isn't Grant or Jess, who, honestly, fine, I'll say it. They're always in the office. Sometimes we just grab them to be back on the podcast. I love both of them,
oh,
so
amazing.
They're a home run every time. But Emily, you're back. How do you feel about it?
I feel excited.
Yeah.
I feel proud.
Yeah.
I'm actually
of Chicago.
honestly, of the city of Chicago.
I'm
but
rock
I love
hard
LA.
Thinking about Chicago.
I can't stop getting wet for Chi-Town. No, I'm excited to be with two new people, and it's good to see you.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. I'm the old
yes.
toy now.
For those of you all driving around in your car, someone did just drop a sandwich. An emotional one.
So we usually start up at the top talking about our process of coming out of the closet.
Mm.
What it was like. A little tidbit, a little story, a little you won't believe this happened to me. So, do you want to start? I mean, I think you told us your gorgeous, what was it? Cincinnati, like, friends on the basketball team coming out story.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how gorgeous it was, but it was definitely a story about coming out. So, I guess I will talk about something that's less of a coming out in the sense of the word, but more of coming out. Like trying to use different pronouns.
Oh, yes. And because you come out of the closet and then you're like, cool, there's another door.
There
I'm
is
still
another
not out.
Door.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you so long to like figure it out, which is, you know, hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that, like, there's no, it feels like there's no room for error. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, once you ask people, then they're like, well, fuck. I mean, if you go back, they're like, make up your mind.
Yeah.
So it's taken me so long. But in, like, the last 2 years, I have just started hearing, like, she come out of people's mouth. And for some reason, and I don't know really what changed, it has just started to feel like a curse word to me. And it's, like, different talking to other queer people, because I also am, like, one of those people that calls everyone, like, bitch, queen, girl. Yeah. Like I love calling.
Starting with bitch. I call everyone asshole. Fuck off. Like, I'm just one of those people.
I mean, truly, 100% of the time. And people are always shocked by the language that I choose to use towards them.
I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I love a gender play where you're like, hey, girl. But when people are like, ma'am, how many are sitting with you today? You're like, I am not ma'am.
Right.
That's a really good distinction to make, because there's, like, a huge difference between, like, the words that I will use playfully with queer folks and then the words that, like, in situations where I need to feel comfortable, I just haven't been feeling comfortable, and I haven't been feeling comfortable for so long. And I have, for the longest time, I had, you know, the things that had tied me to womanhood. We're going to get dark right off the bat, but the things that had tied me to womanhood were, like, my understanding of sexual assault. My understanding of being constantly in fear of being sexually assaulted again. And my want to take care of other women. And that is not enough to tie you to a gender.
Totally.
It's just fear of being raped.
Absolutely. And I would say that I also kind of had a notion of, I don't want to abandon my female friends. You know, it's like, oh, they're one thing that I toyed with before. I feel like when I was feeling non-binary, I kind of went through a list of, like, well, maybe it's just this. Maybe it's not non-binary. Maybe I just, like, a woman can look like anything. And I represent the spectrum of, like, butch women. And I don't need a new pronoun. I'm still a woman. But it's like, no, it's still, no matter what, when someone would say, like, she or her, it felt, it felt almost like my uncle, like, at Thanksgiving saying, so, Allison, do you have a boyfriend? You know, it's just like, you don't know me at all. Like, a deep kind of, like, it hetero understanding.
Like a failure in some way. Like, getting, I don't know how you feel about it, but, like, getting called she was, like, a failure in a couple of different ways. And one of them was, like, the failure to present as neutral as I feel. And failure because every time I heard she, I was reminded of the fact that I am not a good woman. I don't look like a good woman. I am constantly mistaken for anything but a woman. And so to hear just, like, this constant reminder of, like the this womanhood that you're trying to protect, which is too much for anyone when you're just trying to hear your pronouns. And then this neutrality that you want to have, like, I'm just done with it. I'm asking for it. It's been, honest to God, it's been almost harder than coming out the first time.
Amen. Yes.
But I'm here.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Oh, there's still a candle on my leg. There's a small candle on my leg the whole time.
That was my anchor.
I'm so sorry. I'll put it back.
Man, I truly, I can't even, so many of my friends have told me the same similar situation that you have gone through, trying, saying that it's almost, it's harder than coming out the first time. And I don't know, I'm just tired of hearing the whole argument, well, you know, we have to wait, like, we can't just put everything out at once, like, let's take care of one issue at a time. And honey, let me tell you something, if I hear that again, I'm gonna just scream at someone. Because I'm sorry, like, we can't just say, oh no, we're taking care of this issue right now. Add on more. I mean, the, like, what are they supposed to do? It's like, it's not my responsibility. There are people in the world and we need to take care of of everything. Intersectionality, bitch. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, excuse me.
It's also people who give like the impression of like, this is too much. Oh, now this is too much. And I was talking to two other like non-binary people because the hospital that I go to, I'm pursuing like top surgery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The doctor was such a breath of fresh air. I had to go in and get a gender assessment where they had to diagnose me with gender dysphoria for my insurance to cover the surgery.
And I was
so worried about this, whatever this was going to look like. Yeah. And I get there, and it's a gorgeous gay man who's so kind okay. and is like, hi, welcome. And it was just this sweetest hour breezed by. And then he put me on a panel at the hospital for all the psych people to come to. And it was me and two other non-binary people, and we did a Q&A. So that the doctors could get to know non-binary more.
Oh, wow, I love that.
It was a really great experience. And the other two people on the panel were talking about how what stops them from sharing their pronouns are that they're afraid of feeling like too much or a burden. You know? And it's like, I'm sorry, my grandpa calls his boat she. You know, like right. people have room. I have an uncle who just changed his name to Max, like out of nowhere. And it's like, now I'm Max. And everyone was like, yes, you are. And it's like, what? And I can't, you know, and like, you'll never use they because it's plural. I don't know.
I truly, what you just said about the doctor, like gave me such a shiver.
I know, right?
I actually just came. I have to change doctors. I won't say who, but I had an experience where I went to my doctor who has always made me like very uncomfortable. This is here in Los Angeles. Ugh. And he asked me, he said, have you had unprotected sex? And I said, I was honest. I was like, yes. And then he goes without a beat. He goes, oh, well, so you want to die. And I was like, don't do this. Oh. And then he kept going. He was like, you want to die? You're going to die, or you're probably going to have to like be on drugs that you can't afford. And so you're going to die. And basically he was just saying, you're going to die of AIDS. And I was like, okay, you are a doctor.
Yes.
You should not be giving out this information. Like, that information is so false.
Yes. Right.
And my dad lived with HIV, like, my whole life. So I've known all about... Like, so what he said to me was just so shocking. It was in Los Angeles, and it made me so uncomfortable. And I've always had problems with, like... straight doctors, to be honest.
Yes.
And because I've had situations like this
happen
fucking, to me
like, all the time. This fucking scared straight mentality of like, so you want to go to jail? It's like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
I know.
That is so crazy. I have friends who won't go to any gyno. All of that is very triggering. And like, doctors have so much power.
I know.
And it's so gross. It's like, I, you know, a lot of like midwives I've learned will do like pap smears and stuff like that. Like, you can just go into a gorgeous like birthing center and they're able to take care of like all that stuff, so you don't have to like go and sit on like a sheet of wax paper in front of a straight doctor with like one nurse. Have you guys had that before where a second nurse comes in and folds her arms like because they have to do like a buddy system?
Oh no.
Have you guys done this?
I've had that where they're like shadowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Don't look at me.
I know.
I think that is specifically though for like female biology. They have to have a female nurse or someone or other doctor come in.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
By law, because men are predators.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, I know.
Because predators. They should remake Alien versus Predator. It's just an alien and a white man. Straight black man. Oh,
no. Somehow he wins.
And somehow he wins.
Oh, absolutely.
And he gets a producer credit. In the credits. Oh,
yeah. He owns 51% of the film.
Oh my God.
Oh, well, we got to write it after this. Okay, well, we're done with you.
Bye.
Well, no, it's funny that you bring that up because I was thinking about like how I've come out, and I came out pretty early in life. I came out when I was 15.
Oh, nice.
And like, it was relatively easy because I grew up on the East Coast with a family that had gay people in, like either as friends or my great uncle was. And like, it's still like the regular pressure of like, oh my God, am I gonna get like rejected? Like, I really felt that, but I think it's funny just hearing you describe like almost a secondary coming out, because in the past, like maybe 4 or 5 years, like I've just become so aware of the fact that like it wasn't necessarily that I was gay that was looked down upon. It was whether or not I functioned as, like, in heteronormative society.
Ooh.
And so it was like, okay, I have a lot of passing privilege. Do I act like a straight white guy? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Can I, like, it's fine if you want to date whoever you want to date as long as they look like a straight white guy. And I think one of, like, the blessings of coming, like, I live in Los Angeles for a couple of years too, like, just meeting a lot of people and then kind of the discoveries I made by doing drag have just been like, oh, what is going on? Because it feels so, I remember the first couple of times doing drag, it felt so, like, dirty and, like, crazy. And just a lot of, like, I don't know, covered up emotion that maybe I thought was just, like, part of me being not evil, but, like, definitely, like, not, you know,
normative.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
like, so your parents, or maybe not your parents, but you do get a pressure that's kind of like, you can be gay, but still be, like, the powerful majority gay.
I think it, not to, like, malign them. Am I using that word correctly? Malign?
Honestly, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Not to make them sound, because malign.
Malign.
Thank
you. Not to malign them. It was just very much like, they grew up in a time where, like I said, they knew gay people, but they had to hide. You know what I mean? There was, like, a hiding in plain sight kind of a factor. And, like, they just didn't know any better. Luckily, I'm very blessed to have parents who have kind of taken this journey with me. And now my mom loves my drag and is constantly giving me way too many tips. So it's been nice to help kind of both in myself and them kind of come around to understanding a broader queer experience. Mm-hmm. But there is, like, a huge level of, like, imposter syndrome in the back of my head where it's like, you don't get to be a drag queen. Like, you don't get to have this really fun, colorful inner life or outer life for that matter to express yourself because you are a heteronormative white guy in a lot of ways.
I mean,
you know?
I experienced that as well. It's kind of like, are you queer enough? Mm-hmm. Are you trans enough? Like, what percent, you know? And it's like, we're always kind of doing that math in our head when the reality is, like, I talk to any queer person, I'm like, oh, thank God, like, another full queer person.
Right.
You are a full person,
right,
no matter what.
And, like, you touched on it too. It's like, when you meet somebody, like, you kind of just know. Like, somebody who, like, can hang, and you're like, oh, you get what I'm going through. Like, I don't necessarily need to
put up. I will say, one thing with that is there are some people, and I know that this is debatable, but there are some people who default to they, them pronouns when they don't know the person yet. Mm-hmm. And whenever that's happened, I've just been, like, mentally in my head, like, thank God. Like, who are you?
Oh my God, my partner does that. That's how I heard myself get called they, them for the first time is because my partner, like, works with a lot of queer people and has dated to non-binary or trans people. And when we first started dating, she was just like, I remember her saying it to her cat. She was like, oh, do you like them? Do you want them to stick around? And I was like,
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And the cat was like, yes.
The cat was like, yeah, I love
Daddy. I like her.
You can't. I love her.
It's like, no!
That's a woman.
Oh my God.
Oh, but that's so great.
Here's what I'll say about that. I think I 100% hear what you're saying because I used to have really long hair. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was a pretty woman. And when I cut that hair off, that was when I really started feeling the effects of being gay. That was when gay became a very hateful, scary place, is all of a sudden when I looked gay and was acting gay and was like butch or not normative. But when I had long hair and I ate pussy, it was everybody's dream. I cut my hair off and all of a sudden, like, you know, people follow me to my fucking car. You know what I mean? And I think it's the same way with, like, what you're talking about, normativity. Like, when we challenge that, when it's like, you know, you look like fucking Clark Kent, girl. But, like, the minute that you give up, people get so mad when you give up privilege. To explore yourself. Yeah. And that is what bothers people more than, I think, being gay itself. It's like, when you got a handsome white guy on your hands, why wouldn't you be butch?
Well, and I also, like, in the past couple of years, like, I've tried to kind of overcorrect in that way because, you know, you kind of adopt the social norms of your family and like the people around you. And so, you know, like, it's funny talking about cutting your hair. Like, I shaved my head bald and then I grew my hair out to my shoulders just to see, like, what is it? Like, what am I? What am I without anybody around me, you know? And the first time I really felt exposed in that way was when I wasn't necessarily doing drag per se. I just had like a wig and some makeup, and it was more of just like a queer expression than it was, you know, I'm gonna be on Drag Race. Like, it was very just going out, testing the waters. Whew. And even amongst my friends, there's like a couple minutes of just like them readjusting and reacquainting, and like, they weren't by any means, they were super accepting, but like, they, you can like tell when somebody looks at you almost like they don't know you anymore, you know what I mean, for a moment. And then there's like that readjustment period of like, oh no, this is still the person that I, you know, have come to like become friends with and love.
Totally.
But there's just like a weird,
I feel like I have that with, yeah, with like groups of friends. As I continue to change, I feel like sometimes I'll still drop in with friends who I knew when I was first coming out and was like capital L lesbian. And now I've like done so much since then that I'm like, oh, actually, this is what's on my plate right now. This is what I think about gender wise and stuff. And it's just kind of like a catch up game where they're kind of like, oh, what? Yeah. You know?
I don't know. That's so crazy. I'm your experience and your experience is, and your experience is literally the same as my experience with coming out and having like a second kind of coming out in. Well, because first it's like, okay, I accept this because this is what's acceptable right now. And then I realized for me, like, you know, because my family's from the South or whatever, and not or whatever, they're from the South.
or whatever. Near it. North, yeah, or who knows?
North, East, whatever. They're from somewhere. No, like, they're, it's the South. And yeah, I truly, when I came out, it was not good. It was not a good experience. We've grown since then, so I won't talk about like what happened exactly, because it was very, very painful. Yeah, it involved like church therapy. And
honey,
yeah, and growing up in the church. But so because of that kind of shame, the I looked at a picture of me actually recently at Notre Dame, because my friend was like, oh, remember when we went to Paris? And I'm wearing Old Navy. I'm 330 pounds. And this is in college. I'm just like in frumpy clothes, and he looks so sad. He is just like the saddest person in one of the most beautiful places. And I was just like, what was happening? And then I realized that once I started to incorporate the idea that I didn't have to be masculine. The whole idea of when we started breaking down the walls of toxic masculinity, and when I started stepping into that, you know, it changed everything, and it was really, really scary. And all of a sudden I start to like love myself again. But really, I spent a year, like years of my life out, but truly not out, because I'm, you know, the guy that's like lowering his voice an octave and being like, I gotta change my voice. Like, literally, I would leave, I'd like change my voicemail. It would take me 2 hours. Because I'd be like, this sounds gay. And I don't want it to sound gay. And like, I don't want it to sound like a girl, which internalized homophobia, which leads to just misogyny, is a thing that I've had to learn how to deal with. But once I did drag for the show that I'm in called David McMahon, that's coming out, that my character is a drag mother, and something happened, because I auditioned for that, and I remember I was walking for my callback in drag down Hollywood Boulevard as this character. The character's name is Miss Elijah. And I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard next to a group of men who, and men scare me so much. Just in general. And it's something about it. And I was in drag, and I, it, something happened, and I was like, no, I am a fucking force. This is who I am. And I walked in with the most confidence I'd ever had. Yeah. And I walked into this room and like, there's Terrell McCraney. He's an Oscar winner. That's Carmen Cuba. This, she cast everything. And I was just like, I'm here.
Yes, it was like
you're welcome.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yes.
And then they were just like, yeah, when you walked in, we knew it was you because you had the confidence of that character.
Oh.
And so then I started going to these events and I was like, I'm wearing makeup and I'm wearing earrings and I'm wearing lashes and I feel fucking beautiful. And like, I don't do it all the time, but I do it when I want to and like, no one's going to stop me.
Yes.
And it's just insane how like that, I had to go through a whole other coming out to get out of the shame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And but I do
love
feel
that.
I know. I love that too.
Oh God. I mean, I love like a lash. Like it really does transform me. Mm-hmm. I put on a lash and I'm just like, because it's the principle of like, this is me saying that I love myself and you can't take that away from me.
Yes.
Because it's fucking glued on, honey.
Yeah.
I dare you. I
and
fucking
I'll fight
dare
you.
You. I will fight you.
Yes. It is crazy that there's such things like with makeup and stuff. Both of you have experienced drag and found it transformative. It's wild that there are just products that are off limits. Like, I'm sure there are people listening who either maybe are cis or straight, never touched makeup, never touched accessories in that way. It's like, how do you know you don't like it?
Right.
It's been completely out of your reach your whole life. That's crazy. You're a free adult. CVS is probably 5 minutes away from
you.
About
like Halloween and how like all straight people are like, no, we get to dress up like a girl.
Or Pride, honestly.
Yeah,
every drag queen is like, the first time I dressed up was as a joke on Pride. And you're like, was it a joke or were you looking forward to June?
Like, literally, I know. It's like,
but people. Also, have you ever put on makeup on like a straight man?
Like, it's so fun.
They glow.
They love it. They love it.
Like,
that's what Rocky Horror Picture Show is for straight men to try makeup.
Yes.
And the way that they look at themselves in the mirror.
Yes.
They're like a cat that just got shaved. It's fucking ridiculous.
How many cats have you seen freshly shaved?
The amount, don't test me, the amount of Instagram accounts that I follow specifically for cat are, I would say, honest to God, probably over 270.
Wow.
It is overwhelming. I can't get rid of them because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something.
I love that. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Damn,
yeah,
but I love
like
that.
I'll also
that was my
say
third coming out.
Like, I'm a big fan of shaving cat.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, but I'll also say like, sometimes makeup isn't for everybody, and that isn't necessarily going to be this big aha moment,
right,
especially if you are like conditioned to use it. You know what
True.
I mean? And I think.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
I mean,
put makeup on me and I'm like, I'm not being seen. I'm being erased right now. Like,
right. Yes.
Any like commercial audition I go to, like luckily here, it's like so chill and everyone's like, oh, you're Allie. Someone told me like you barely wear any makeup. I'm like, great, thank you.
Right.
But if I go to a commercial audition, it's like so much mascara and bright red lips.
Yeah.
And I just look like a crazy
fucking clown. And even if I don't look like a clown, I feel like a
fucking
clown.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The issue is more like what I feel like.
Yes.
Which, and I can't see the difference.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, anyone's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it's temporary. Like, you look beautiful. Like, whatever the fuck they say. You're like, I can't see that, man.
Yes.
And like, there is like a screen in front of my eyes and I feel like a man in drag. Like,
yes.
I feel fucking. Mm-hmm. Bad.
Yeah. And any attention I get for that, I'm kind of like, now I mistrust that person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's like, you look beautiful. I'm like, I don't want to look beautiful.
I don't want to look beautiful. And
to
I will say that, like, so if there may be someone who is queer out there who loves wearing Old Navy and it works for them.
True.
And that is their expression. That's them.
Old Navy
Navy is an expression.
You might think it's a default.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
But what is it? But for me, it was not. For me, it was a mask.
An invisibility cloak.
It was an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
Mm, mm, mm.
Harry Potter is deeply queer literature.
Oh, yes. Oh, Voldemort. The one who cannot be named. Honestly, I've never seen one.
The one who cannot be named. This is actually a perfect segue into our topic for today, which is the word binary.
Dun, 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 dun.
Ow!
There it is. The storms are brewing.
It's all happening.
We both did that. And I've been here.
You've been here and you yeah, we've fully already been talking about this. Yeah. But
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, like, one of the biggest permissions I gave myself was to, like, kind of float around center.
Exactly.
Because, you know, as a kid, I was feminine. I used to get my mom's scarves and have her tie them around my wrists, and then I'd jump from my stairs just to watch them fly around me. It was really exciting. Like, small stairs.
Beautiful. Wait, you would have a scarf on each wrist?
On each wrist.
Wow.
And I just, you know.
Yes.
Gay kids.
Just the
gorgeous.
Full fantasy. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, the most, like, feminine part of a young boy is the wrist, the wrist, I would say. Yeah, so right. You're tying it.
And you better believe those scarves were silk. Beautiful silk scarves.
Well, they flow the best.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Flow the best.
I love their shoulder blades.
What?
I love little boy shoulder blades. And whenever they're on the beach and I see their, because they're so small and they look like little wings.
Oh.
Like, you're not an asshole yet.
Would you say you follow more than 50 little boy shoulder blades accounts on Instagram?
I would say I follow more than 270 accounts.
Wow.
Little boy wings. Oh,
but it does take a level of permission, especially as you get older, you become more self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the times where I'd be alone, especially when I was in college, there was a time where I went to school in Connecticut and I was in the fucking woods just pretty much by myself. And it was like, okay, like, let's, like, have a real talk right now and figure out what it is that you want to be, because you do feel this anger, you do feel this confusion, you do feel this sense of, like, definitely not belonging in any frat house or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, and, like, love frat houses. I had some friends who have some beautiful queer stories in their queer frats. Stunning.
Yeah.
But the ones that I was exposed to were just very traditional. Scary. Yeah. And so... it took a while for me to even just be, like, okay with myself exploring different facets of my queer identity, because I had internalized a lot of, however you want to put it, wrongness to it, fear of it. I think that's what it becomes. It's like, oh, you've been told it's wrong. And then I become afraid of this part of me that is like, I'm fucking great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is really fun. This is exciting. And, like, when I did finally bust through, start doing drag, and then really invest in doing drag, one of the greatest joys I've ever had is you go to, like, a new bar or any of the bars and you meet people, and the amount of permission it granted other people to feel more free to speak to me was like, this is the connection I've been missing with, like, meeting other people. You know what I mean? There are no walls when I kind of expose myself in that way, which is actually layers and layers and layers of covering, but you know, it just opens so many doors to meeting so many cool people.
I'm so interested in drag and its effect on pop culture, and it's like, it's just so freeing. I mean, I cry so much during RuPaul, and just at, like, off times, not even really on, like, a heavy interview, but just, like, seeing, like, oh wow, this is 10 people who probably had to hide this part of themselves, given a room and free reign with makeup and wigs, and just, like, fucking doing what they wanted to and would have liked to have been doing for decades now.
Well, I will say it's definitely on a pedestal right now, and that's great, and I love it, and I feel so seen. But I, like, for me to do drag when I was really kind of uncertain would have been too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, don't, like, I want to say, if there's anybody who's out there who's like, okay, I get it, but that's not me either. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Touch it and go. See if you like it. If it doesn't suit you, that is fine. There are a million other ways to express yourself.
Totally.
This is just one avenue that happens to be really, really, like,
loud,
entertainment,
honestly.
You know,
like,
high entertainment
in your
value.
Face and fun and free. Yeah.
I will say, for me, I will do drag when I get paid to do it, because guess what? It's hard. It is hard, and I have so much respect for drag queens, and I have so much support. But, like, for me, I'm like, that's definitely not my expression, but I love it. I love I understand where it comes from. And I also like RuPaul's quote that we all wear drag.
Yeah. Right.
Because if you think about where it comes from and how, like, going to the ball, it's almost like it's punk rock, really. It's like people were basically saying, you don't have a voice. And then everyone was like, oh, we're going to go underground and we're going to show you. And, like, I love the idea of, like, the category is. And it's like, oh, what is the category that you have today? You know what I mean? And I don't know. I feel like I just love that there was a place to go. I love that there was a community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the best part. That's the most fun.
Yes. It's wild to think that there was that much potent creativity hidden for a long time. Like, where has all this been? Like, that's just amazing to be able to see it, like, spring up.
Right. And it just goes to show, like, if you open the door for just one facet of queer creativity to, like, flow through, there must be a million other expressions, not just dressing up in, you know, a feminine way, if that's how you identify your drag. You know what I mean? Like,
come on. What's I want to see.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two really quiet, like, King of the Hill style people, like, cracking beers. That's our version.
I would live.
Yep.
King of the Hill, underrated. Yeah. Underrated, y'all. It really is. I think, for me, the binary has been so interesting because, like, I think, you know, I love the queer community and I love, you know, the feminist queer community, and I love, you know, the intersectional feminist queer community, and a complicated part of that community is, like, this need kind of to dissect everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of me loves that, you know. Yeah. I love it when we do it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But to the world, I'm always like, y'all, can we clean this up in private? You know, can we have this conversation in private, not in front of the straights? But one of the things that, you know, we talk about, like, within this, like, intersectional queer feminism is the idea of the binary being a social construct. And it's like, okay, yeah, it is. But it is there. And people feel comfortable on it. And I have found a spot of comfortability inside of that binary too, because a binary is here and it's here, which means there's all of this. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of that shit in between. And being so fucking upset with the binary is disrespectful to people who love their femininity, and it's disrespectful to people who love their masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both. The binary is working for me. Like, it's a social construct. Make it work for you.
Yeah.
Like, because in the middle of that is zero. It's neutral. So if you hate the fucking binary, you don't have to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a neutral ground. And that's, I think that when we are like, you know, when we have all of these things where we're punishing people for being masculine, when we write masculinity off as toxic, it's like, what about, like, our butch dykes? Like, why are we writing them off? And we write off femininity as, like, you know, weak or conventional. Like, what about our femboys? Like, what about our femme women? Like, we don't need to be biting our own heads off to be different.
Yeah.
Well, it just goes to show that, like, there is a level of, I guess, self-identification when you see somebody else. And if somebody else's way of expressing themselves scares you, it's so easy.
That's the crazy thing,
you know?
Like, the binary makes people feel safe. So when you upset that, they feel scared.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. I can't do it anymore with people.
Right.
It's so codependent to say, you made me feel this way. It's like, no one can make you feel that way.
Yeah.
You, like, process through what you're feeling.
Sure.
And so when people are, like, upset and angry about gender non-binary people and you're ruining the whole system, it's like, calm down.
Right. Did you know there's a super massive black hole that's 5.6 billion times larger than the sun?
Do you know there's a trash plastic island?
Right.
Like a Google fucking dump house.
That is my house. Pacific.
Yeah. Oh,
I follow an Instagram.
I am loving that house. I love what you've done to the place.
Yeah.
It's so sprite.
So
allegedly.
Smash the binary. Unless it works for you, then keep
unless it works. I will say this. My idea of what I believe to be, like, toxic in masculinity is literally it comes from the idea of binary, like, what is in the middle, when you're just, like, grasping onto this idea that it has to be this and only this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you tell people, when you tell other people what that you can't do, that's when your gender becomes toxic to me.
Yes.
When masculinity is used to like make people feel bad, that's that shit. And you know what? Yeah. That's not a masculinity problem. That's a fucking person problem.
Yeah. Ooh. It's always a supremacy problem. It's masculinity is fine unless you're claiming it to be supreme, you know, and then you're like, now that's just sexism. That's not masculinity.
Exactly.
All right. We are going to pop into arguably my favorite part of the show. Questions from viewers like you. Thank you so much for submitting. If you have a question yourself for me and the panel, you can go on our Instagram, which is at TalesPod, and there is a little link there for you to write your question. All right. Here's our first one. I am a queer cis woman who doesn't really identify as either butch or femme. Someone, another queer person, recently referred to me as too butch, and it's making me insecure about the way I want to present myself around my queer peers. Mm. How do you guys deal with limiting binary vocab and internalized homophobia within the LGBTQ community?
Okay, I just want to take this one immediately. You are allowed to just tell them they're wrong and no. I think the first step is like if somebody puts you in a position where you're too much or you're too anything, and it's your friend, so maybe there's a little bit of sensitivity there where you're not necessarily trying to fight them or make a scene. It is fully okay to be like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not. Thanks, though. You're wrong.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
You know, it's such a weirdly small but powerful thing that like I had to start adding to my own, I don't know, just life, because, you know, you want to people please. And I think if you're figuring stuff out, you don't want to, again, what we're talking about earlier, like we as queer people take so much into account our presence in the greater scheme of other people around us that other people don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People aren't thinking about their presentation and how it comes off to feeling other ways. And so like, okay, if they aren't, you don't have to either. So, you know, if again, it sounds like this person is trying to be cordial. They want to be friends. They're not necessarily, you know, this isn't as clean cut as like a homophobe coming up and trying to start a fight. You know, that's a totally different thing. You're completely within your power to say no, you know?
Totally.
And especially within our community, I think what I've learned about myself, because that's where it starts, is that we are as humans infallible. And there's always going to be room for growth. I have learned that, you know, there have been moments where I was not right and I had to apologize and say, you know what? I thought that what I was saying was okay. And I realized that that is just demeaning you. And I never want to do that because I know what that feels like.
Yes.
And I've had those moments and even with, and I'm a part of the community. But that is because I'm a human.
Yeah.
And so what I love about these conversations and being honest and saying, this is my truth, is that people get to grow. And, you know, and it doesn't necessarily, because some people hear it and they're just like, what? No, how dare you? It's like, why don't you just listen and then, you know, evaluate?
Yeah.
Can you just evaluate that this is a human being who has feelings and you may have hurt them.
Yeah.
And you need to see why, like see that vantage point.
Yeah, this is a question about receiving a comment like that. But yeah, I think the bigger issue is, let's talk about people who dish out these kind of like comments that make people feel like they're on a tightrope and queerness is like always being policed by other queer people. Like let's as a queer person in a community, let's stop using words like too much this or too this, you know? Let's allow freedom of expression, which is like fully what this is all
fully
about.
Fully what it's about, you guys. We are proud.
Yes.
No matter what that expression is, that's why I love the Hannah Gatsby special. What the parts I watched, I truly, it's hard to watch comedy. It's so hard.
When you're in comedy, watching comedy feels daunting. It does. Like, this is homework.
But I will tell you, I was just like, when she was just like, this isn't those aren't my people, you know, but my people are, they're drinking the tea and now I don't know what accent I'm doing. but like, I was like, oh, great. So it's freedom of expression. There you go. And yes. So, and even in our community, but I like what I like the idea that we should keep it within our community.
Yes,
like,
bitch.
Please.
We don't mean to argue in front of you.
Clean house with the doors closed.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's how you do it.
Yes.
I've been cleaning all wrong. I've been inviting people over.
Never let the straights watch us crumble.
Yeah. Or like a full FDR, like, look away.
I know.
Here's a good one. This is, how do you ask people to use your pronouns?
Ooh.
Simple, clear. Is it?
I think, and it's funny, I think I said something similar to the last time I was on. I think you can ask people to use your pronouns, but you have to also be realistic about some of their responses. You are not going to hear the thing that you want to hear every time. And when you brace yourself for that, then it'll be easier to accept it.
Yeah.
I recently had a conversation with a family member. I knew it was going to be hard. I did not expect it to be that hard.
Oh.
But because I'd braced myself and I was able to remain calm, she like truly very quickly adapted and finally ended up at like, as long as you're happy.
Great.
Yeah. And I think it's you have to come into those and I know that this puts a lot of pressure on us, but it's you have to enter these things with as much, you know, calmness in your heart as you can, because other people, for some reason, it's going to be hard for some of them and it's going to be really easy for some of them.
Yeah. It is one thing that I've started to like is when I encounter someone who's just kind of like, wait, what? Or it's like hard, or they're like doubling down and apologizing or something like that. I just try to think like, okay, I'm probably the first non-binary person that this person has interacted with. Mm. Meaning everyone to follow, it will just get easier and easier. Like a very like Johnny Appleseed fucking mindset of like, this is hard, but it will get easier. I just happen to be in the slot where it's the hardest. I'm up first.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what non-binary is. They, them. Now you know. Next time, you'll feel like an insider. You know.
And in doing that, you're making so. That's, you know, that's been a huge thing for me. Is like I've felt this way my entire comedy career, and now it applies to this too. Is like you don't know who you're making it easier for.
Yes. Totally.
This is okay. You all, everything that we do in life should always be for the benefit. It's like we could be helping other people.
Absolutely.
And so that is why we have to be our true selves.
Yes.
And we have to be authentic.
You never know who's watching.
You literally never know who's watching or listening. And there's because you did that, it allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that those situations just like, if we just choose one day, like, I'm just going to be my authentic self, it just brings the level of consciousness up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this is. That's what being on this planet is. I don't know.
Yes.
When you said that, I was just like, I get people who will DM me and say, it's so great that you're able to just be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being this person, because I never get to see that. And I think about that. I'm like, oh, I didn't really have that growing up.
Totally.
I had caricatures of what queer was. And that's still on the air.
Yeah, anyways, I'm working that out.
Anyways, and I'm not going to say what show I'm talking about.
It's called Will and Grace. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Will and Grace sucked my dick.
Allegedly.
That's not going to allegedly. Wow. Okay, you guys, you're never going to understand. I just made a joke that happened off.
We'll edit it.
I'm sorry, guys.
We can't edit it.
We'll bleep it. But I just think if we're creating more and more stuff that we wish we had... Bam! Right. We are on the track to progress.
I'll also just say, like, a strategy that I felt worked with me as I kind of discussed with my parents about my more queer identity and my drag identity was explaining the more emotional element, such that, like, when I do this, when I do drag, let's say, or so when I, you know, behave in this queer way, the way it makes me embrace the world and the way the world embraces me is
better. It's mm-hmm. just, it lights up. Everything lights up.
Yeah.
And it helps me just connect with people. And it, and I feel, you know, especially if this is, if you're trying to like breach the subject with a family member, you know, I think as long as, you know, if you do have a relationship where you're fortunate enough to have a family member who is at least trying to understand or mm-hmm. is at least listening, because some people,
yeah, there's a different line, and you don't yeah. have to keep yeah. going back to them. Right. I think that's a really important right. boundary to
yes.
establish.
But if you do feel that you're, you know, you're on the verge, they just don't necessarily understand, coming from an angle of a more emotional place where they can feel it mm-hmm. versus them having to think about it. Because yeah. as somebody who is a little bit looser with pronouns, it took me a minute to be like, especially when I think within the past couple of years, a big push has been to respect people's pronouns. And that was a big thing that I was like, wow, I've never even considered it. Mm-hmm. It's coming from my upbringing. Like it never would have been a thing. And so for somebody who doesn't necessarily take, a huge investment in my own pronouns, it was a big thing for me to understand that. And I was fortunate enough to have somebody explain it to me in that way, where it's like, when I am gendered as him, it's like, it's terrible. But when I am gendered, you know, when I am properly gendered, it just feels like a door's opened up. I am, you know, at the table with everybody else mm-hmm. experiencing what everybody should be, you know,
yes.
having.
Yeah, totally.
Wow, that was really generic and vague. Everybody yeah. should be having this.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was picturing yeah. the Last Supper, but I understand. you were joining the table and just having whatever food is in
it. It was all grapes? Mac and cheese. Oh.
Someone zooms in on the Last Supper and is like, is that fucking mac and cheese?
No, bitch, it's grapes.
Mac and cheese and grapes. Okay, great. We have, let's try to get through a couple more of these. We got lightning round.
Yes,
lightning
no.
round.
Lightning
yes,
round.
I am. Yes. I am gay. I am queer. Yes. This. No.
What do you think about gay men or people outing other men who are still closeted? I'm bi and I confided in someone, but he went and told my coworkers.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Not his story to tell. And also, you guys, stop making jokes about Mike Pence being gay. When yeah. we, even as gay folks, when we use that as a way to burn people, we're burning that our sucks. Motherfucking selves.
Yeah. I know.
He's not good enough to be gay.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That was a quick lightning round.
Yeah, that was a quick lightning round. I'm so sorry that happened to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
I feel
terrible.
Like the recovery from that is... hard, honestly. Yeah. I think
it is.
The feeling of being outed is a visceral, lasting
oh,
feeling.
Yeah.
So I think be comfortable with yourself. And to coworkers, that's a weird
yeah.
level.
Yeah,
that's
like, don't.
Also, I will say, I'm going through some very rough times. What I'm learning about rough times is that the only thing that they do is they help you later on mm-hmm. in life. Yeah. Because if you can get through this kind of bullshit, because mm-hmm. that's what it is, it's literally making you stronger. And then yeah. you're going to be able to like help someone else who's in a situation where they're like,
focus on that light at the end
truly,
of the tunnel. And
it truly is that. I mean, I if you map all of the stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, I went through this and this happened and I got through that. And it's just, yeah, it's incredible. But obviously right now it fucking sucks because yeah. that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. yeah.
And like, though we're not physically present for this person who was outed, know that there is like a queer community out there who has experienced this, does feel for you, does understand what you're going through, even if
yes.
you still have questions about what you're going through. And that a time will come where this kind of settles down and you will be okay.
Yeah,
being absolutely.
In that workspace.
I hope. I like picturing yourself as part of a collective story.
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
outed. That's a probably a collective queer yeah. story. I would say look for literature on that. Look
yeah.
for movies. And if there's not something out there about your particular experience, hey, write it.
It's
put it out there.
Exactly.
I want so much more queer media. Yeah. There's, it's a full
oh,
diamond,
I know,
and
I know.
Let's make all the facets of it.
Yes.
Okay, final question. Just before turning 21, I came to terms with being trans. Prior to that, while living and believing I was a straight woman, I dated straight men. Now, though I identify as a man, I find myself subconsciously writing off the idea that gay men would ever want to date me, and that the only people who would like me would have to be bi or pan. I feel very disconnected from the male gay community. Is this internalized transphobia or a legitimate fear? Do you have any advice on how to break that kind of cycle of thinking or interact sexually romantically with the gay community as a trans person? Thanks, Teddy.
Can I see the card?
Oh, yes.
I love you too, but can you see the card? This is, it was just like a really long card. So I don't want to be disrespectful.
I don't either. I also want to look at it.
Identify as a man.
Yeah, saying it out loud.
Now, though I identify as a man, I find myself subconsciously running off the idea that gay men would ever want to date me.
This is a common thing, I would say.
This
I have
is
a lot
really
of trans
common.
Friends who transition gotcha. And find themselves attracted to the... attracted as a new person to people that they've already been attracted to, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's tricky because it's so easy for me to say, like, there are people out there for you. There is a community of people who will love you for who you are. It's very easy to say that. Because if you're in a place where, if you're not necessarily in a large metropolitan area where you're exposed to a lot of people, there might not be. You know what I mean? If you're in a smaller town, if you are in a suburb or... you know, just in a smaller community, there might be a group of people who you feel really closed off from.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get out,
I mean, that's always
it's so
comes
scary.
Up in
you know what I mean?
Question,
it's so scary to do
show,
that.
Yeah.
But right now, please know that there is like a community of people who will love and respect you for who you are and will be attracted to you and think you are the hottest motherfucker out there. No, and not in like a weird fetish way, like in a true loving, you know, romantic and sexual way. And
also take some of the heat off yourself, because I feel like gay community, like, you know, sorry, but I feel like the gay male community can be very, very judgmental. And like the, you know, the amount of like gay friends of color that have shown me their, you know, their grinder and whatever. And just
that happened to me literally last night.
No way.
Yes. And I've had to tell people several times, like, I don't care about what you think is just your preference.
Oh my God.
I don't want to hear that. Don't you? Anyways. Yeah.
That, I mean, in that way, it's like, take that off of you, because you, like, there are just going to be like cis gay males that do not like fucking anything you do, but there are also going to be gay men that love you. It is exact like every other dating pool, and obviously it's different because there's more queer puzzles involved, but it really is like all dating pools. Like, you never know what someone's gonna like, you never know what someone's not gonna like. And anybody that in the gay community that tells you that you are not a full man or not a man that they'd be interested in, one, isn't worth your time, and two, can fuck the fuck off.
Yeah. I two things about that. The first thing is, wow, that whole idea that someone can just tell you like who you are and like what they, the anger that I get about within the community is real. I mean, I know that there are great things about the community, but there are also other things. And I always see it as like, oh, okay. You just have your own, that's a you problem. It's not a community problem. That's literally just a you problem. And it's sometimes it's just racism that they refuse to see. The second thing I will say, I'm going to share something personal. I met these two men at Akbar, which is like a bar in LA, and they are married, and I went home with them, and it was one of the most loving experiences of my life. They like, it was very, it was the most like beautiful sexual like threesome I've ever been in. And they were both trans men.
Oh,
and it
gorgeous.
Was literally probably the most loved and the hottest I've ever felt. Cause it was like,
I know. I'm
it was amazing. It was so amazing. And they were husbands and like, well, the thing is that, like, and now they're good friends. And
oh,
I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
I know. It's crazy. Like, so and I would have never thought, you know, a little boy from Texas who was told that he was an abomination to God, that I would be like, you know, in this like loving threesome with these two trans, like beautiful trans men, my God. And like, it changed me because it was like, oh, okay, you're touching my body and you're saying that I am like worth it. Because there's another thing. There's like body shaming that happens in the community.
Oh my God.
But again, that's a you problem. Because whenever someone's like, you're bad, it's like, oh no, you're compensating for something. And that's sad.
And a million other people think you're fucking hot.
Yeah. I know.
So
it's
I
crazy.
Would say like if you're in a big city, you'll find people.
Sure. Absolutely.
If you're maybe in a smaller city, less queer people
might
to
be
choose
harder.
From, I would say go online, you know,
yeah.
We're at a point where there is a whole, you know, full community online where you can find down to the most specific thing. Other people just
yes.
like you start a pen pal relationship, send each other books. I don't know. But just kind of like buy your time until you move to a big city.
And it sounds insane, but follow other trans men on Instagram. And you, maybe you're already doing that.
Yeah.
But
oh, that's really smart.
I found for me that following trans men, following non-binary people, following very butch lesbians, like kind of creating the space where I was looking at people that looked like me.
Yeah.
I all of a sudden I started to feel so confident because my world became my own.
Yes.
And feel free to like trust your instincts too. I think a lot of the times, as long as you're being safe, be smart, go to, you know, places where you feel that you can express yourself. But if you catch a vibe, don't second guess yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of,
I would say too, yeah, don't stand in your own way.
Yeah, because you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people who, while maybe not on like their Instagram or have made any sort of public, you know, acknowledgement of what they are or not attracted to, there is a wide range of people who are attracted to all sorts of different people, different expressions, different genders that maybe, you know, you they're private about, but it does not necessarily, you know, mean you're closed off from having a connection with them.
Yeah, I agree.
It might actually mean that it's even more real to them because it's not posted online.
Right.
Everything I post online is a lie. Yes, those are not my Getty images.
Just a Getty image of like two hands.
Two hands.
Follow Travis. He only posts stock photos.
That's a really good account.
Honestly,
I love that idea.
I'll follow
that is
it.
A good idea.
Well, great. That's our show. Let's wrap it up with some plugs, honey. Sure. Where can people find you?
Ooh. We're start with me. You can find me on YouTube, a show called Lies on Demand, and then I'm also on a new TV show called David Makes Man that's going to premiere on OWN Network sometime in August.
You can catch me in the Austin Lyric Opera this coming May. I am going to be a French street vendor in La Boheme.
But
that will be this May. And then if you're in Austin, just look out for Riani. I perform all over town.
Riani.
You can come catch me on the second Wednesdays every month. I'm a UCB mod team. Hail Mary! Yeah! Otherwise, I got a pilot coming out, and I don't know when it is, so just follow me on Instagram, and I will tell you. But, I mean, it's editing and the coloring. It is hard, and it's thank you.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Love ya.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.